And welcome to the Hey Boomer Show, which is normally live every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Today is a special show. Typically, the show is also available on your podcast channels the next day. So in real situations, it's going to be available on podcast players on Tuesday. This time, this special show will be available tomorrow, Thursday. Hey Boomer is a show for those of us who believe that we are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. It is for lifelong learners who are finding meaning and purpose in their lives and living a fulfilled life. Today, I am excited to share with you some of the people and experiences that we had in Glacier National Park as we went on a Rhodes Scholar tour of this amazing natural wonder. I want to tell you about the people and introduce you to some of them. We were travelers from all over the country. We varied in ages from mid-60s to mid-80s. We had different interests in life outside of the park, but of course, all of us were interested in the park. But being lifelong learners, we are also interested in learning about where we are. So we had some amazing field instructors that walked the trails with us and taught us about the geology and the history and the flora and the fauna and the mountain peaks and the water. I mean, there was just so much to take in. And then we had presentations as well and a wonderful musical performance. It was really a trip of a lifetime. And it's a place that I hope all of you get to visit at some point. I was able to record 7 recordings while we were in the park. We set up at a picnic table outside the hotel under some cedar trees. And most of the days in the park were warm, you know, started out in the high 50s, low 60s, but warmed up into the 80s down in the valley in West Glacier where we were. But one of the days of my recording started out chilly and rainy and damp. It was very unusual. So you will see potentially some raindrops in the background if you're watching the video of some of those recordings that I did on the second day. So let me start by introducing you to some of the people that were on the trip or having them introduce themselves to you. Hi, can you tell me your name?
Phil Hoffman.
Phil Hoffman.
Yes.
And Phil, how old are you?
75.
75. Okay,
Rhonda Cook, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, and Rhonda, may I ask how old you are?
I am 66. I'll be 67 in a few weeks.
All right.
My name is Julie Harston, and I live in Atlanta.
Okay, and how old are you, Julie?
I'd tell you, but then I would have to count.
She's one of the younger ones on the hike, so don't let her fool you.
I'm Josh Gubitz.
Josh Gubitz.
Yes.
And you are our team leader?
I'm the group leader for
group
the
group leader, yeah. Group leader. So we're here on the Rhodes Scholar trip to Glacier National Park, and Josh has been an amazing group leader.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Joel Diamond.
Joel Diamond from
Long Island.
So how old are you, Joel?
I'm 78.
And my name is Doris Diamond.
And you are also from
Long Island? I am from Long Island, New York. Yeah, I'm 75.
75 and proud.
I'm proud of it.
My name is Paul Johnston.
And we call you PJ?
Yes, since about 1 year, 2 years old, other than that.
Okay, and where are you from?
First 15 years was Binghamton, New York. I moved to high school and college in Alabama. And after that, it was all over the place because of work.
I'm Lynn Lawyer. I'm 82, almost 83. John Lawyer, and I'm 83.
When is your birthday, Lynn?
September 29th, and his is the 27th.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So we celebrate our unbirthday on the 28th.
So that was fun. You got to meet them. You'll hear each of them tell a little bit more about their story and their adventure as we go on. But I wanted to give you a quick history or overview of what we experienced in the park, and we'll have to share pictures at another time. So the park was established in 1910 as America's 10th national park. At the time it was established, it's estimated that there were about 140 glaciers in the park. Today there are 25, and we saw one of them. We saw Jackson Glacier. An interesting fact about the park is that it abuts Waterton National Park, which is in Canada. And so the adjoining parks form the Waterton Glacier International Peace Park. So I like that. On the first day, we hiked the trail along Avalanche Creek up to Avalanche Lake. The color of the water coming down Avalanche Creek was an unbelievable aqua blue color, and the force it came down with was just astounding. We learned that the aqua blue color of the water comes from what's called glacial flour, F-L-O-U-R. And that is where the glaciers have crumbled up pieces of rock so tiny, and then that powdery substance is suspended in the water, and it creates that incredible blue. As we came towards the end of that trail and turned a corner, the vista opened up into Avalanche Lake, which was also the same crystal clear blue color and surrounded by these mountain peaks and waterfalls cascading down the mountain peaks off in the distance. It just took your breath away. I bravely stepped into the water too. It was very cold. Also on our trip, we had a close encounter with a mountain goat. That was really fun. We watched this mountain goat traverse its way down a very rocky slope, and then it kept coming closer and closer and did not seem to mind that there were a lot of tourists taking pictures of this mountain goat and, you know, watching him come down. He was losing a lot of his winter fur. It was definitely a highlight for me to be so close to this wild animal. Of course, we gave him respect and distance. Another highlight on the trip was that we got to go up the Going to the Sun Road. So the Going to the Sun Road, if you don't know about it, it's a phenomenal feat of engineering to create this road that really blends in with the landscape of the mountains so that it very, very minimally impacted the mountains as it climbs up to the peak, which is at Logan Pass. And it is the highest point on the road, which is also where the Continental Divide is. But they had had a late snow and did not think this Going to the Sun Road was going to open. They were still clearing snow and debris off the road when we got there on July 11th. Our scheduled time to go up was July 13th, and lucky for us, the road opened on July 13th. So we were some of the first people to go up the Going to the Sun Road for this season in Glacier National Park. We got to Logan Pass, but because of the amount of snow that was there, we were not able to hike up there. The trails were still covered with snow, so it wasn't really safe for us to hike. But we did continue on to what's called St. Mary's Lake. We took another hike there, had lunch by a waterfall, another amazing color in St. Mary's Lake as it goes down on the east side of Glacier National Park. So that's a very brief story, but now I want to rejoin Josh Gubitz, our group leader, so that you can learn a little bit about what it takes to be a group leader. So here we go. How many trips have you done with Road Scholar?
Well, can you even count? I think I probably 40 in 40. Total. Yeah.
Wow. So. All around this area.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two that I like to do. I really enjoy doing the one that we're doing this week. And I like doing the intergenerational programs, which is grandparents and grandkids.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what got you into this?
Well, I was working for a nonprofit organization in Whitefish, and we were giving presentations for Rhodes Scholar programs about water quality in the area, specifically kind of this crown of the continent ecosystem. We're the top of the watershed here, so we have all this beautiful water, as we've seen this week, just flowing through the park. And my background's in water quality, so there was kind of a an opportunity for me to give presentations on water quality. And as I kept doing it, I said, you know, I kind of discovered that I really enjoyed doing the Rhodes Scholar program, so I started doing more presentations. And then now I'm, you know, in the last 7 or 8 years, I've been doing group leader.
Josh, what does it take to be a group leader for a Rhodes Scholar trip?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's not very hard to work with Rhodes Scholars or be a group leader, because for the most part, the Rhodes Scholar participants are just amazing people. They're lifelong learners. They're patient. They are a part of a group dynamic. They fit in with each other. So what does it take to be a group leader? I guess it does take a little bit of practice coordinating. And it also takes a little, I guess, knowledge of place. So some place-based knowledge.
It does. You divided up the hikes based on kind of skill level, but everybody went with an experienced, what, naturalist or ecologist? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So this group, this program is pretty popular. It's pretty much 40 participants for this program. So we bring in three field instructors daily.
Field instructors.
Yeah. So each day we get three field instructors, and we
plus you,
plus me. Yep. And I get to be the field instructor too. And we break up into groups, four groups, and we rotate, taking turns on varying levels of distance and elevation covered for the hikes. But yeah, so all these amazing instructors over the years, anything from bear biologists to fire ecologists. You know, we had Daniel, who has really done everything. He's a mountain man.
He's a mountain man.
And he, you know, he's a blacksmith. He's all the amazing stories that he has living in Montana, skiing in the woods in the winter. You know, he's done all these winter trips. Botanists, you know, just people with all these different backgrounds, and that have lived here for a long time. So it's wonderful little community of Rhodes Scholar field instructors and group leaders to work with, because there's such a wealth of knowledge.
It has been amazing what I've learned so far on this trip, and every night I go back and I try and make notes, because when I take like pictures of the signs, because mm-hmm. otherwise I'm going to forget
yeah.
where we went, mm-hmm. right? But we did see a glacier, and tell me, there was like 100 and something glaciers when the park was?
Yeah, so 140 glaciers, you know.
And now we have?
We're down to 25. A lot of them are hard to get to. The number could be less than that. But yeah, so certainly less glaciers, and glaciers are becoming delisted. So classified glacier really is a glacier because it moves under its own weight. We're seeing the decline of glaciers in Glacier National Park.
What was one of the highlights of this week for you?
Well, lots of highlights. So this is an interesting year. We're talking about, you know, we just got done talking about glaciers melting, but we actually had a pretty late snowfall. This is the latest the roads ever opened. Has ever opened.
July 13th,
the Going to the Sun Road open. Yeah, so it's usually late June it opens. So that's a highlight to be able to go up this late on the very first day that it opens.
We
drove over the pass and kind of got the, you know, we were probably one of the first 100 vehicles.
It was very cool.
We're talking 3 million visitors to Glacier National Park a year, and we were one of the first probably 100 vehicles that got to go up over the pass, and just seeing all that snow and all the water was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
The waterfalls
melting from the snowfall. And
yeah.
And Lori, my field guide on that particular trip.
Yeah.
She was so excited. She was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys got to see the road open.
I know.
Yay, and look at all the wildflowers. And
definite highlight. Yeah. So that just, I mean, being just kept crossing fingers and hoping for the road to open for, on this trip. And then it opens the day we're going up there. It was like it was meant to be and it happened. It was, yeah, it's supposed to happen.
Well, you have been a great leader, Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
When you're not doing this, what are you doing?
I'm teaching middle school. So I was in water quality for 20 years and I enjoyed that. But, you know, I spent a lot of time writing reports and crunching numbers and statistical analysis, worked on lakes. And I really, really wanted to interact and I wanted to share kind of my love of teaching and bring some of my experience to the classroom. So I'm teaching in the regular school year, and I have three Rhodes Scholar trips left this year. So I'll do 5 weeks of Rhodes Scholar, which is a lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah.
I meet all these new people from all over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get to, you know, I get to kind of experience other people's stories too. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Well, I feel very lucky that we had you as our field leader.
Well,
field leader,
yeah, and I feel
leader.
Blessed to have you on our trip as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So you heard Josh's story about what it takes to be a group leader and the excitement he had about going to the Sun Road opening. And he mentioned that some of the differences that and the interests that Rhodes Scholars have. So when I was setting up the first day, you know, just kind of trying it out, seeing how it worked, Phil came by. So he's my first interview and almost a practice interview. I wasn't really sure, but I think it came out pretty good. So let's hear what Phil has to say.
How many Rhodes Scholar trips have you been on?
Four.
Four?
I have been on four.
Really? Where have you been?
Okay, now you really did it. Grand Canyon and Sedona. That's one. Europe, which was World War I battlefield. That was an 11-day job. And this one here, which is
5 days.
5 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And went to Amsterdam. How do you like that?
You went to Amsterdam.
Yes.
Okay. So you live in Holly Springs, North Carolina.
Yes,
right?
I do.
Right. And the whole point of my show, Phil, is you're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. So at 75, you are doing what?
Going on my own on these trips.
Going on your own on these trips.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I love it. I love it.
And what else are you doing?
Well, I work, believe it or not, 20-hour weeks. And also, I work with children in the fall and spring of the year at shooting. Lee County Wildlife. Yeah, teaching them 22 rifles all.
Do you?
Yes, we have quite a program done. We had about 106 kids this year.
So you teach them like rifle
marksmanship and safety, and that gotta respect your weapon.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's not a toy.
No, it's not.
It's not a toy.
Been doing that for 5-6 years now.
Okay, and you've got a grandson near you?
I have a grandson near me in Nickstown, Cary, and he's going to Wake Tech.
Good for him. All right. Would you recommend Rhodes Scholar to your friends and family and people that are watching?
Yes, I would. I think it's a great program, especially for over 55. That's the catch. You could you could bring your grandchildren, though. They do have a program. Your grandmother, grandfather can bring in their grandchildren.
And was there anything on this trip that particularly stood out for you?
The majestic part of the glaciers.
Right.
I mean, this country here is unbelievable.
It's
all nature. It's nature, what nature did.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
So Phil was fun. He was a character and we enjoyed Phil. A fun fact about Phil is that his wife was aware of Hey Boomer, and she had actually told Phil before he went on the trip that I might be on the trip. So thanks, Pat. Hope you're watching. The third person that I interviewed on that first day is Rhonda. And Rhonda retired a few years ago from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And she has an amazing story that she broke and uncovered while she was at the Atlanta Journal. And so I'm going to try and get her on a show later on. But for now, I want you to meet her and hear about her experiences, what she thought were highlights, and what she's doing now, because we are all involved.
So I met Rhonda out here on the trail. We were hiking. Was that to Avalanche Lake, right?
Yes, Avalanche Run.
Yeah, which was amazing.
Oh, it was. It was exhausting, but it was just beautiful. And I sent a picture of it from my nephew and didn't say where I was, but that's the first thing he shot back. Avalanche Lake, because he's been there.
Ah, so he got it. So, Rhonda, can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing before you decided to go into your next act?
I was a reporter for 40 years. by the time I retired, I was at 29 years with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I worked for the water services twice. I worked in Texas once. So I was a reporter, and then I retired 4 years ago.
Wow. So congratulations.
It's wonderful.
Yes. And so this show is about people, us believing that we are never too old to set another goal, a dream, a new dream, right? So obviously Rhodes Scholar is for people that are lifelong learners. What is it that you do now?
Well, my true love is voting rights and yes. access to the polls, because that is a topic that I covered as a reporter. So I volunteer with the Democratic Party.
Okay.
And the ACLU on voter awesome. Protection only. I don't do any phone banking. I do processing of paper ballots, which is controversial. And in addition to that, I'm also an escort at a couple of clinics in Atlanta.
Ah.
Planned Parenthood and another clinic.
And good for you.
I am a court-appointed special advocate in the juvenile court in the county where I live.
Wow. So how many hours do you think a week you're putting into some of these activities?
Well, right now, the election stuff is consuming me, because with the clinics, believe it or not, Planned Parenthood in Atlanta, that where I work, where I volunteer, they're not getting a lot of protesters. Hmm. The other one is, but they only have hours on 3 days a week. And so, and they have a lot of volunteers. So I probably put in 3 to 6 hours a month at that clinic. The one that's consuming me is the ACLU voter protection stuff. And that, oh my God, that's like, I'm doing it even here.
Following really?
Up, yeah, following up on emails and things like that, because they're being pretty aggressive, and it's about making sure people can access the polls.
Yeah.
We don't take sides. We just want people to vote. That's their choice.
Right.
What they do when they get there.
Well, I applaud you for that. I do League of Women Voters, like I mentioned mm-hmm. to you, and same kind of thing. We don't take sides. Just get out there and vote. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, what brought you out here to Glacier National Park?
I was supposed to have come here 2 years ago, and the trip was canceled because of COVID. And I have a nephew who's been here. I have a dear friend who's been here. And I just like the mountains and the woods. I'm not a beach girl. I like this. And it kind of puts life in perspective.
Yeah.
When you see what's here, it's just amazing.
So what have been some of the highlights for you?
Well, there was Avalanche Lake. That was amazing.
Pretty amazing.
The drive along the driving to the
going to the sun
highway. I keep knowing I'm going to mess that up. That was, I mean, the cliff over the edge was breathtaking. And then you had the wall with the water gushing down.
Still so much snow.
Mm-hmm. The snow, we're mid-July.
And the animals we saw?
We saw a goat.
Yes.
And we saw a whole bunch of sheep, the mountain goats.
The mountain sheep. The bighorn sheep.
Bighorn sheep, that's it, yeah. They're all males, because we could tell by their antlers.
Yeah, which was really cool. Did your group see any bears?
No.
No, we never saw bears.
I really want to see bears. I want to see wolves, and I want to see, well, the wolverine is elusive.
Yeah, the wolverine. In fact, I think Josh said they've only seen one once.
Yeah. So So yeah. I would the Bay Area I would really like to see.
So how many Rhodes Scholar trips have you done?
This is my first.
And Rhonda also is our news hound, so if we need to catch up on any of the news, Rhonda keeps us informed.
I do. I'm paying attention. I'm reading it all.
You are. One of my highlights is just meeting people like mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a wide range of ages and abilities and interests, and the older people, they don't care about stuff. You know, they're pretty easygoing. There's nothing to prove.
Older, like in their 80s, right?
Yes.
We've had people on this trip in their 80s walking the trails with us. It's mm-hmm. pretty impressive. All right. So we are here in Glacier. But before you came to Glacier National Park, what were you doing for your work?
Well, I'm actually in the midst of my third act.
I love it.
In which I write more for the pleasure and the importance of the story than for the money.
Because before that, you were a journalist.
I was a journalist for 30 years, from 1978 to 2008. I was a working journalist. I worked in a little bit of everything, daily newspapers, weekly newspapers, magazines. I pretty much ran the gamut.
And you retired early from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution?
I didn't retire. Okay. I took a buyout.
Took a buyout, right.
They were, what can I say?
The writing was on the wall.
Times were getting lean, and they made a very generous offer that allowed me to continue to collect my salary for a pretty good period of time based on how long I had been with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which was my last journalism job, and continued my health benefits. So it gave me a cushion in which to figure out what to do next.
Right. So that's an interesting point. So how long did it take you from when you left the Journal-Constitution to when you decided what your third act would be?
Well, there was a second
act. Oh, there was a second act. What was the second act?
So, actually, I was one of the more fortunate among my colleagues. Not everyone who took the buyout landed right away, but I did. By the time I walked out the door, I had an offer on the table from a boutique public relations firm to come work there and learn the communications consulting business.
Okay. And then you, as I recall, went out on your own with that for a little while.
Yes. I worked for the firm for 5 years, and then I just, as they say, hung out a shingle. Formed my own firm specializing in sustainable products, companies, and initiatives.
So you are definitely an example of we are never too old to set another goal and dream a new dream.
That's right.
And what brought you to Glacier with Rhodes Scholar?
Well, obviously, I've lived a life that in which I have tried to be informed and to learn more and dive deeper and understand the world around me a little bit better. And that's the beauty of the Rhodes Scholar experience, is that you're not just in this beautiful place experiencing all these wonderful trails and waterfalls and lakes and wildlife, but you're actually learning something about them and about the history of the place, and it gives you a deeper appreciation for the experience that you're having.
So what has been a highlight for you of this trip?
Oh my.
I know. It's a hard question.
I loved the music that we heard this morning, in particular because it was created by someone who was born here and grew up here and whose
view of the world and whose experience of this place informs his music. And that was, and so he could talk a lot about history and culture, and that's all incorporated into his wonderful songs. I enjoyed that. I loved our hike to Avalanche Lake. It was really gorgeous.
It was outstanding.
I mean, we threaded our way through the lovely groves and the deep woods and got to experience that. And then it opens up into this crystal blue lake with waterfalls on the far side. It was
breathtaking.
Magnificent.
Breathtaking. And you can see why Julie is a journalist. Your way with words is beautiful.
Thank you.
Julie invited me on a hike with her in May to go to an inn that you hike up to in Amicalola Falls in Georgia. So I have to continue staying in hiking shape for that. And I also mentioned that the musician that Julie mentioned is named Rob Quist, Quist. You can find Rob's music on YouTube or probably Spotify. So check him out. It really was a treat to have him perform for us. My next guests are Joel and Doris Diamond. So Joel and Doris have a multiple interests and things, and they are passionate about the things that they're interested in, which you'll hear in the discussion. But we also got interrupted by rain while we were recording, so we had to move and come back and set up. So the background, the scenery looks a little different, but I think we managed to get their story told. So here is Joel and Doris Diamond.
So I'm here with Doris and Joel Diamond. And so how many Rhodes Scholar trips have you been on, Doris and Joel?
This is my sixth.
Sixth trip. Okay. Can you tell me where you've been?
I've been to Alaska, where we went to Denali and the Kenai Peninsula. And we took our son, was along with us at that Rhodes Scholar trip. And this one, and then I'm fascinated by photography. It became a really big hobby of mine. So I've gone to 4 Rhodes Scholar trips where there were expert photographers and took us out in the field and taught us things. One was in Costa Rica. That was great. It got us real close to the hummingbirds. I got great pictures. It was so much fun. And then I never pronounced it right. Chincoteague. Where we saw the wild ponies, and there was they get us up like 5 o'clock in the morning, which is great because I would never do that myself.
Right.
I always wind up taking pictures of the midday sun. So this gave us a chance to really get out when the light was great. And I was in one in New Hampshire and one out in Sedona.
Nice. I would like to ask you and Doris and Joel what you were doing before what you are doing now, you know, like your job before you went into this next act of your life.
I was a fourth grade teacher most of the time in the same classroom, the same school. It was I really enjoyed it. I still dream about teaching all the time.
That's nice. And what you're doing now?
What am I doing now? I'm working with, help Joel with the Multicultural Solidarity, and I'm going to let him speak more about that. I do a lot of photography. I've taken classes at Stony Brook University that are especially for retired people, taught by retired people, volunteers, and I really learned a lot about photography. And now I teach a class once a week.
Nice.
I love doing that. Yes, and then I belong to an organization called Women Sharing Art, and we promote women artists on Long Island and hold some of our own exhibits and encourage each other. So every once in a while, I get accepted to a juried show with my photography, and it's all exciting.
Awesome. What about you, Joel?
I was an elementary school teacher for my first career, about 10 years, and then I got into social work with mostly kids and abused kids, and then I was a probation officer, mostly with sex offenders, and then I retired for 8 years, and then I couldn't take that anymore, and I was a supervisor of a mental health advocacy project, and then I retired again, and now I'm... I have a part-time job as a housing discrimination.
Housing discrimination?
Yeah, and mortgage discrimination. And I also have, it's only once a week, but I love it. I'm a supervisor of supervised visitation. And my most favorite thing is this. Doris woke up one morning and invented this thing with diversity friendship circles. And the organization is called Multicultural Solidarity. And I'm one of the co-presidents, and we have a board with lots of diversity, mostly global majority people, and I spend most of my time organizing that and spreading that around. And Multicultural Solidarity tries to interrupt this thing where racist social structure separates us from each other. I think 75% of white people in America don't have a single non-white friend. So we try to improve that and spread that around. We're kind of modeling Martin Luther King's beloved community. And Doris's invention of it, she has us speaking uninterrupted in turn in a circle from personal experience, not pontificating and stuff. And we talk mostly about race-related topics.
All right, so that's quite a third act or fourth act, or I don't know, in Joel's case, it may be a fifth act. So I wanted to ask you guys about this experience out here and what was a highlight for you on this trip to Glacier National Park.
I loved up at Logan Pass seeing the snow. I didn't expect to see snow. I thought I'd have to visit in the wintertime, and it was really, really, really nice. And I like seeing the glacier lilies.
Yeah.
And they seem to come out right after the snow starts melting. And I kept walking around, and I found a place where the edge of the snow and the edge of the mud, and I could just see the teeny little sprouts starting to come up. So it was fun seeing that, and then the fully bloomed glacier lilies. So that was a highlight.
That was a highlight. Lovely.
Mine was the folk singer that we saw today. He revealed stuff because he grew up being friends with one of the seven tribes here, the Blackfoot people.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
So there you go. Joel and Doris living very passionate, meaningful lives. My next guest was PJ, and I had not had a chance to talk to PJ before. Like I said, you know, a lot of times we met people on the trails or over dinner, but PJ always went on the most advanced hikes, and I usually took like the next level down. So when PJ came over to talk to me, I was really pleased to learn more about him. So here is PJ.
Is this your first Rhodes Scholar trip?
This is my fifth, and I have five more scheduled.
Five more scheduled. Wow. All right.
Within this next year, which is about all you can have anyway.
Yeah, because there's only 6 months left of this year, yeah. Right?
Well, I have some all the way to next September, too. A year in September.
Golly.
Because you can't get into them otherwise.
That's true. You got to book ahead.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what you were doing before you decided you were ready to, quote, unquote, retire.
Yeah. Around 68, 69, I was beginning, okay, I can do it. I have enough, should have enough, et cetera, to make it through at a level that I want to. And then COVID hit. And then, as a employee assistance counselor at that point, we could do it by telephone, Zoom, and I could stay home and get paid, or I could stay home and not get paid. But either way, I was staying home. So it was, I only, in a couple of weeks, I'll be retired for 1 year.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I think, right? Because a lot of us that on the show were like, well, but you can't retire to doing nothing. So what are you doing now?
Okay. That's interesting you say that. As a college counselor, I was talking to Jeff Consideration. My last EAP, Employee Assistance Program, was on a contract to the post office, where the average age of them was 55. So I was talking to younger people than me, but older people than me too on that. And one of the things they would get upset with the post office, I'm going to quit, you know, I'm like 2 more weeks and I'm gone. Have you talked it over with your spouse? Mm. And what kind of plans you make? It's perfectly okay to go to your front porch as long as you know that that's where you want to end up. Otherwise, have some plans of what you're going to do, why you want to do it, how you're going to do it, to have money to do it. There's no right way to do it, but there's a whole lot of wrong ways to do it.
I so agree with you. Right. Because, you know, we still have a lot left to give and a lot left to live. Mm-hmm. So you were telling me about a book.
Yes.
Tell me about that book that is kind of your philosophy now, right, I think?
Yeah, I think teaching it to my brothers and sisters and friends, and we kid each other about, oh, can I buy a souvenir? The book name is Die with Zero.
Die with Zero. Yeah. Okay.
And I can't remember the author's name because I'm old. But eventually, maybe I can do it in that. But Die with Zero, his philosophy is there's three things you got to balance. It's you got to balance your money, you got to balance your time, and you got to balance your health. Okay. An example I could give would be what thought of forever is I'll save my money and I'll die and I'll not be a problem to my kids. I'll pay for all my health and then I'll give them all my money. Well, if I die at 88, like my dad, which is at least I hope to get to that, my kids would be in their 60s.
Yeah.
They don't need my money the same way in their 60s as they do in their 40s or they do in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Give some of my money now to them where it's useful, mm-hmm. and as opposed to all they're going to do is buy a better, bigger car at that point, a better, mm-hmm. bigger house. Well, they probably don't need it. They're going to be downsizing at some point. So the concept is spend your money more wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Don't scrimp out. Doesn't mean you have any excuse to be exaggerations or wasteful, but use your money as a tool along with your health, along with your time.
Mm-hmm. So I love what you talked about too with your EAP work, Employee Assistance Program, because I do some coaching for people looking to retire, mm-hmm. and also say you have to have a plan. So you have 5 more trips planned. Which number trip is this that you've done so far?
This is number 5.
You've done 5 already. All right. So tell me about a highlight on this trip.
I'd say the first day, the hike around the lake. The woods.
You went with Daniel.
Yes.
Oh.
I did that 5.5 mile.
Yeah. And 6. And yeah, right.
Yeah. Even though they said it was 4 to 5. It didn't matter. For me, it was fine.
Yeah.
Because that's what I would normally do anyway. But it would be tiring to some people.
Yeah, that was the longest hike. They barely made it back in time for the presentation.
Yeah, I would have.
But that was okay because you wanted to hike. And that lake was amazing.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
It was
really
amazing.
Pretty. And then the scenery behind the lake with the mountains and the runoff was cool.
I know. And we got very lucky that the Going to the Sun Road opened for us.
Yes. It would have been cool to hike up there.
Hike up there.
But it certainly wasn't appropriate to hike. Safety-wise, and the snow.
Right. Yeah. So, but at least we got to get up there.
Yeah. And I appreciated that.
So, what would you say to people planning a Rhodes Scholar trip for the first time? What kind of advice would you give them?
Absolutely, pay attention from that 1 to 7 range. And when you're going into a place like Glacier or Utah, the 5 National Parks there, is you got to realize elevation.
Right.
If you've Tennessee, I can get up 400 feet total. Anywhere within reasonable driving distance. I can go to the Smokies. That's a different issue. That's 200 miles away.
Yeah.
So you got to realize elevation is going to make a difference too. It helps to breathe.
And it helps to breathe.
It's hard to breathe sometimes at altitude.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Thank you, PJ.
Thanks. Thanks for taking time for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you came up.
It helps to breathe. That's a good takeaway from PJ's. The last people that I wanted you to meet are John and Lynn Lawyer. They were such an interesting couple. They have been all over the world. Fabulous stories to tell, but I don't want to take up any more time talking about them. I want you to meet them.
So tell me about your careers before you retired or went into your next act.
Well, my first part of my career was raising four children. And then when the youngest one was about four, I was ordained a deacon in the Episcopal Church. And I resettled refugees for about 8 years. And then I chaplained in a nursing home for another 8 years or so. And then I decided I was just going to play. So I started playing.
Okay. And what about you, John?
Well, I was 28 years in the Air Force. And flew airplanes for a while, and navigated airplanes for a while. And then I was then in the Global Command Post for the Air Rescue Service for a while, and then off to the Pentagon for, 8 or 10 years total. And then after that, I retired and from the Air Force and went into college teaching. So taught for a while and then retired.
Retired.
Yeah.
All right. When we say you're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream, I'm wondering if you guys have some dreams that are coming up for you.
Dreams that are coming up for me. I don't know how I would say that. It's just, it surprises all the time. You know, we're enjoying grandchildren and great-grandchildren, which has always been part of the game, but learning new things, just trying new things. We moved into a senior residence a couple of years ago, and I've learned how to sing cabaret, and I've learned how to do graffiti arts. I learned how to do painting with acrylics, and what else have I done? I've done all kinds of crazy things, which was available to us at the senior home, which would not have been available to us if I'd stayed in our big house.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, about 4 years ago, I got involved in a group called Silent Warrior Project, which is helping vets with PTSD. And we're moving in now to working also with cops and with fire service people next year, we hope. So that's keeping me busy.
And it's called
Silent Warrior Project. We do a lot of centering prayer, part of it, a lot of nature walk. Sitting around a fire, telling our stories, listening to stories, which we don't, modern society isn't very good about listening. So knowing you're heard matters an awful lot. And mindfulness, it's just the whole combination. No one magic button works for everybody, but hopefully out of the toolkit we have, everybody will find one or two that work for them. And a big thing has been learning how to care for somebody out of our wounds, out of our injury. Because again, modern society, we relate to each other out of our accomplishments. Hey, I've done this. I've done that. Oh, you did that too. Wonderful. But we've had to learn how to relate out of our wounds, out of our brokenness. You know, tell me where you're hurting and why.
Wow.
And that's been a whole new dimension. And that's where the healing comes from. And our motto is we heal together because we do. It's always mutual. Wow. We're peer-to-peer.
And did you start this?
No, I was involved in the founding of it, but another man who actually got it going.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I mean, this is one of the things I love about Rhodes Scholar is that you meet people that are lifelong learners and that are doing so many interesting things. And it's certainly been my honor to meet you two. So tell me about how many Rhodes Scholar trips have you all been on?
This is my 29th.
I've been about 25. She's on a couple more than I've been.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to name them all.
started with China, and we've done a lot of them overseas. When we were younger, it was a lot easier to go overseas. And then we've been doing national parks, and we've been we did Newfoundland and a lot of Canada and things like that closer to home. But we're going to go to Alaska next year to see Denali, which is one of the things I've wanted to do. So
yeah, So, and what have been some of your favorite trips?
Oh, heavens.
Heavens.
Italy, Newfoundland, Scotland, Costa Rica, for sure, Costa Rica.
I've got to get there.
Oh, I've done two service projects. One of them was monitoring turtles, sea turtles in Suriname, where I had to walk the beach by the Caribbean in the middle of the night. Oh, it was so hard, but it was so incredible. I have hugged a loggerback turtle, and, you know, that is something that not everybody gets to do.
Most people can't say that.
And so that was fun. And one was monitoring humpback whales in the Pacific Ocean.
That's so cool.
Which was fun. So
I think my favorite was Newfoundland. And part of it was the group. Part of it was the scenery, which is spectacular. Part of it was the place. Saying is, why don't knock-knock jokes work in Newfoundland? And the answer is, you say, knock-knock. And the other person says, come on in. The coffee's ready. It'll be. So what are you going to do? But they were we felt very much a part of the member of the family every place we went.
It was fabulous.
And
it really
just
was.
Warm and welcome. And
Group melded very quickly. Yeah. And that was the most bonding group that we've been in. I'm still in correspondence with several people from that group.
Nice. So what about this trip? What has been a highlight for you on this trip?
The scenery. The scenery is mind boggling. Again, an appreciation for our country and the magnificence of our country. Until you see these parks out here, you don't have a clue about some of the beauty that we have right here at home, and that's kind of fantastic.
Well, right now I'm all hyped up for the river rafting this afternoon, which we haven't done, so I can't say, of the things we have done. I think probably Logan Pass. Being up on the Continental Divide, okay, that way is the east, that way is the west, and the mountains all around. Everybody was running around looking for an animal or two. I love animals and all the rest, but I said, hey, look, there's a peak. It's just sitting there. And there's another one over there, and there's one back here, and they're all magnificent. And it's the total surround, the 360-degree bit. And maybe a little bit of hypoxia from being at 6,000 feet or whatever, but, you know. And the sunshine and snow, so we could tromp through the, not quite glacier, but, you know, was a glacier at one point.
Yeah, I know.
The guides were really good.
Yeah.
The guides knew their stuff, and they knew where they were. And Daniel, who could name all the peaks that we were looking at, how anybody can memorize which one is which, I have no idea. And, of course, was he accurate? Probably he was.
We don't know.
Smith Mountain and Jones Mountain.
We have no idea.
Sure.
But same with the plants. Right. That's called yellow flower.
Yes. Oh, my favorite was what do bears eat? And the answer is they're opportunivores. They said, hey, chinship here. Yeah, you know, give it to me and I'll eat it.
That's right. All right. Well, and you guys have the Denali trip. Do you have any other trips lined up yet?
No.
Alaska next year.
That's it.
Yeah, Denali.
So what an amazing group, right? I just loved the chance to meet so many amazing people, two founders or co-founders of nonprofits, volunteers, people writing, creating art, traveling with their friends and sisters and family. It was so cool. Monday, when I start the season 5, we are going to be talking about kind of stretching our comfort zones a little bit. So I'll have a man named Michael Hebb on as my guest on Monday, and he started a group called Death Over Dinner. So we are going to be talking about that very difficult conversation that many people have about talking about end of life and what you might want. So stay tuned for that. A Rhodes Scholar has been a sponsor of Hey Boomer for the last few months, and I just love them. So if you want to check out some of their other things that they're doing, you can go to Rhodes Scholar, roadscholar.org/Hey Boomer, and look them up, sign up for a trip. And finally, if you're interested in exploring what's next as you transition to a new stage in your life, check out heyboomer.biz/coaching. and join the group coaching experience. It's a program that will give you new insights and directions so that you live with purpose, live with relevance, and live with courage. My name is Wendy Green, and I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Hey Boomer. Thanks for coming.